Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11 tonight, a good Sunday night crowd. Good Sunday night crowd. Revelation chapter number 11. And this is the middle chapter of the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter number 11 is going to be the key to the book of Revelation. Here's the middle section. Revelation chapter number 11, we have covered some ground, and this is where we're going to start reading. The tribulation period is 7 years long, and where we're fixing to start reading is about middle ways, right in the middle. It's where Revelation chapter number 11 is going to fall. So when we fall, when you see the two witnesses showing up and all of that kind of thing, you're going to have about middle ways. The first part of the tribulation is going to be peace, peace, peace. We're already hearing that today. Peace in the Middle East. We need a leader that'll bring peace to the Middle East. Peace, Middle East. And what's going to happen after the rapture of the church and all the saved leave, right here at the rapture, we go to meet Him in the air. Then there will be a peace treaty signed with the nation of Israel. They'll sign that peace treaty, they'll shake hands, they'll sign the treaty, and then middle ways through the tribulation, whoever the Antichrist is going to be is going to tear that peace treaty up. And the last half of the tribulation period is going to be what they call the wrath of the tribulation. The first part is going to be, like I said, peace, peace, but the last half is going to be worse than the first. 7 years may not sound too long for you, but it's too long if you're not saved. And that's for sure. Look at Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. An angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out. And measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. 42 months is how long? 3.5 years. You'll look at verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That is 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, they must in this manner be killed. Now you imagine what, you know, it's a good thing I didn't have that kind of power in school. There's only so many people that God can trust with that kind of power. I mean, fire percent. Somebody just makes you mad. You just, you know. Now, I've met some folks that almost could do that by breathing on you, but. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. I ask you to bless your word. And Lord, give us something that we need out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Revelation chapter number 11, we're going to be introduced to two witnesses. Like I've already told you, we are in the middle of the tribulation. Right in the center. We've already discussed that. Let me see if I can get back to. Yeah, let me get back to this. We've already discussed that the book of Revelation is going to take you four times through the tribulation. Four different times. Four different trips. You've got the seals, Revelation 6. And then you've got a parenthetical or parentheses. And in 8 starts the trumpets. It'll take you through again. And in 9 will continue that. And then you've got a parenthesis. And now 11 is going to be. There, right there in the middle, is where we're going to start. So, here in the middle of the tribulation, what is going to happen? A temple is going to be built. A temple that's going to set on the mount, the temple mount there, and it's going to be built. The Jews have already got the cornerstone, they say. They've already got a red heifer. They've already got some of the furnishings for this temple. They're not allowed to do that right now, but they're going to. This temple will be built in Jerusalem, and it will sit right over there in Jerusalem. And I've got some pictures of that I'll show you. Here is the Old Testament. There was Solomon's temple. Solomon was the first one to build a temple. Solomon's temple. Now, this is just what they might think it looked like. This is not it, obviously, but it's what it may have looked like. It was stationary building of the Old Testament tabernacle, which was movable. You can pick it up, move it, and go to the next area. Well, Solomon was the first one to build an actual temple in Jerusalem on this exact spot. And then you had Zerubbabel's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar, and then you had Zerubbabel's temple. They rebuilt that, and then it was destroyed. And then you had something similar, and it was Herod's temple. Herod's temple is the one we read about in the Bible, the one that Jesus rode into, and he walked in and kicked the money changers out. That was Herod's temple. These temples have been built and destroyed several different times. This one, Herod's temple, was destroyed in 70 A.D. by a fellow by the name of Titus, and no temple has been there since 70 A.D., And when Jesus returns, there will be a temple on that temple mount for Jesus to ride in the white horse on the eastern gate, and he will sit down on the throne in the Holy of Holies where King David sat, Solomon's dad. And so this is where it'll all happen. Now, this is the actual temple mount today. You'll see, it's this morning I was telling you about the 12 gates. There's three gates over here, three gates there, and three gates here. This Temple Mount area, there is the Dome of the Rock, and then there is a Muslim mosque that is built right there. This is the place where Abraham offered Isaac, his son, in Genesis chapter number 22. And now the Muslims control most of this. The Jews can go in some of the areas, but we have a dome here and a Muslim mosque here. And what you'll see is a closer view of it, of the walls. It goes all the way around. And right here is the Western Wall. Sometimes on television you'll see all the Jews, they'll go over there and they'll put their tallit. They'll pull their tallit over their head and they're up against the wall. And they call it the Western Wailing Wall. And they'll stick their prayers and they'll write their prayers on slips of paper and they'll stick it in the cracks of the wall. The reason they do that is because this is where they believe the holies of holies, the back of that wall is where the Holy of Holies was, where God came and dwelt with His people. And that's the closest they think they can get to God, and they'll stick their prayers in the cracks of those walls. And that's where they believe where the Holy of Holies was at one time. And so anyway, this is... You'll see several gates, like I said, all the way around this thing to where you would enter in. The Muslims have certain gates they go in, and the Jews have access to certain areas of this. But when Jesus comes back, they will have access to all of this because all of this is theirs. And so there's a temple going to be built. And then there will be a millennial temple there later on. Now, let's look here in verse number 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now, let's find out who they are without any commentary whatsoever. Let me read, and you read along with me. And you tell me who the two witnesses are. A lot of discrepancy. Everybody wants to argue about who the two witnesses are. It's really not that hard. I mean, you just read plain English and you can pretty well figure it out. A lot of people just want to argue about something. And so I like to refer them to 1 Corinthians 14, 38. 1 Corinthians 14, 38 says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You don't waste a lot of time arguing with folks that can't read plain English. You say, that's harsh. No, you need to, don't argue about something unless you know how to read your Bible upside or straight up and down. Well, anyway, now look at verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Okay. Anybody know a fella in the Old Testament that was able to stop rain? His name is Elijah, right? All right, let's see the next one. And have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Who was that? Well, see, I didn't tell y'all. Y'all told me. Look at verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues, let's see, and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. Notice these words, make merry. Make merry, and shall send gifts one to another. Why? Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Wonder if it's around Christmas time. Ain't that something? You say, why would they allow those preachers, those two preachers of the Old Testament, lay in the street there? Hey, these preachers, I'm telling you, do you realize how bad it is? And we talk about this all the time, and it's no sense in glorifying it. It's bad. You think it's bad now? You just wait till the middle of the tribulation when these guys show up. And it's bad when these preachers of righteousness preach, and what they're preaching is the same thing that John the Baptist preached. John the Baptist preached, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to get right. And these two, listen, John the Baptist was a prophet that was going to preach and prepare the way for the first coming. These two witnesses are going to be the prophets, and they're going to prophesy before the second coming. And this is what they're going to be doing. They're going to, listen, the worst criminal you know, they bury them in a grave. They give them a proper burial. These two preachers, they let them lay in the street. And they get so happy that these two dead preachers are dead. They're no longer preaching anymore. Because why? People hate the truth. When these preachers start preaching, there's hate speech. You're just hating everybody. You're supposed to love everybody. You're not supposed to judge anybody. Does that sound familiar? And judge not, lest you be judged. And my first question is, where's that found? If you don't know, hush. Oh, I know it's in the Bible. Well, yeah, where's it at? And what's the next verse say? Oh, I don't know. Well, try that before you start trying to preach. Judge not, lest you be judged. Hey, you better know how to judge. Bible says judge righteous judgment. Let me just hit this a lick. Some of you look like you need this one. We have a district attorney here. We have lawyers. And this is what they do, the judge. They bring them up before the judge, and the judge judges people. You look at that judge and say, you ain't got no right to judge me. Well, personally, he doesn't. Personally, he doesn't. Don't, whichever it is. But what he does is, he says, I judge you according to the Tennessee Code annotated. And this right here says, you have broken the law. Now, you look like a fine person to me. I have nothing against you personally. But the Tennessee Code annotated says you broke the law. And so I'm judging you based upon a book. So when a preacher is preaching, you say, oh, he's judging. I don't have anything personally against you. We judge according to a book. And the book says such and such and such and such is wrong. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. I'm not judging you. He's judging you. I'm just telling you what it says. If you're under conviction and you get all hot and sweaty, it ain't my problem. God judges by a book. A judge on this earth judges by the book. Well, we just need to love everybody. Well, Jesus Christ loved everybody at the cross. If you don't come to the cross, guess what? You're going to hell. Is that not simple? And so God judges according to a book. A judge on this earth judges according to the book. It's nothing personal. But if the Bible says thou shalt not and thou shalt not, it's nothing personal. You're being judged by a book. These preachers are preaching. They're preaching the book. And they get mad at the mailman. And so they lay in the street 3.5 days, and everybody's rejoicing and making merry and sending gifts to one another and putting up trees and... I made enough people mad this morning in Sunday school, so hey, you know, I'm not going to get on that again tonight. But watch what happens. Here at the end of the tribulation, let me show you. We're at the end of the tribulation, right before the second coming, verse 11 takes place. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. You say, what does that mean in the Greek? They went... Now, there is a belief about a post-tribulational rapture. There is one. It's not us. Here's the confusion. Now, listen to me. I told you a while ago, we believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. We're going up before the tribulation. You understand that? That's a pre-trib rapture. We're going up. The church. Everybody born in, or everybody saved in this church age is going up right here. Everybody left behind is going to go through the tribulation period. Well, these two witnesses are going to show up about here. And they're going to preach how long? 42 months, 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. And at the end of that, their enemies are going to kill them. They're going to lay in the street, dead in the street. And all of a sudden, they're going to hear a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they're going to be raptured out. It's a post-tribulation rapture. And a lot of people look at that and say, well, look at there. The church is going, no, that's two witnesses, not you. And we're already up there. And we're picking our... By the time these two witnesses get up to where we are, we're going to be sitting on white horses waiting on the cloud to split. And we coming back. And he's coming back, and boy, is he mad. Now, you say, preacher, I don't believe these two witnesses are who they say. Well, okay. Let me show you. Look at... first of all, look at... let's clear up some stuff first. Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. To your left. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we've read these verses before, but we'll read them real quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. This is talking about the Antichrist. Let no man deceive you. By any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed to who? We learned last week who that was. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, let me show you what's fixing to happen. In the middle of the tribulation period, these two witnesses are going to show up. They're going to be preaching. They're going to be preaching for 3.5 years. The Antichrist is going to show up and sit down on that temple that they're going to build in the tribulation. And he's going to say, I am your Messiah, the one you've been looking for. You have to understand, the Jews do not realize Jesus Christ is their Messiah. They're still looking for Yeshua. They're still looking for their Messiah to come. And when this guy, the Antichrist, shows up, somebody's going to shoot him in the head. We'll read about it in a few chapters. Somebody's going to shoot him. He's going to have wounded in the head. He'll lay in the street, and then he will rise from the dead. Well, the Jews have heard that the Messiah will rise from the dead. Well, this guy, that must be him. And they will fall down and worship him. And when he claims to be God, sets himself up as God and sets down on the throne of King David, there's a rumbling going on up here. And I'm talking about he gets upset. And that's when we get on white horses and we come back. And y'all remember this morning I told you, he rides in the eastern gate on the donkey, and he is killed on the cross. This time, he's coming back to that same eastern gate. It won't be a donkey, it's going to be a white horse. The Muslims have read that verse, and this is what? If I showed you the picture of the eastern gate is bricked up. The eastern gate is bricked up. You cannot enter into the eastern gate because it's bricked up. The Muslims say, well, the Bible says that this Messiah is going to come and he's coming through the eastern gate. Well, we're fixing to stop him. Well, I got news for you. A rock didn't stop him on resurrection morning. And so there's not going to be any rocks to stop him when he goes through the eastern gate. So just about the time he's riding on that white horse and we're all the saved are right behind him. You understand? She just pinched that baby so she'd get up and leave. That's what it was. Now, everybody's all right. All right. This is what's going to happen. He's riding that white horse and it's right before he gets to that wall, that bricked up wall, he's just going to stick his foot out and we're going through. He's going to march in the eastern gate. And just like when he rode in the first time, turned over the money changers, just wait to see what he does this time. I'm talking about, you're talking about UFC, you're talking about wrestling, you're talking about SmackDown, you're talking about Royal Rumble. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ is fixing to go into where that Holy of Holies. He's going to grab that Antichrist by the hair of the head and say, get out of my seat. And throw him over the top rope and it's over. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, why'd you use that? Well, that's about the only thing some of you can relate to. Now, I want you to look at Zechariah, the Old Testament. Zechariah. Go to Matthew. Let me help you. Go to Matthew and then go keep going left. Go to Matthew and keep going left. And you're going to hit Malachi, and then you're going to hit Zechariah. Does that help? Chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And look at verse number 3. Zechariah 4. And verse 3. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bow, and the other upon the left side of the bow. And I answered, so I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, who are these, my Lord? And he goes on and talks about who these are. Now look at verse number 14. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Y'all see that? Well, these two olive trees are the ones, the anointed ones, that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Well, in Matthew 17, the Lord is transfigured, takes Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's two men that stood by the Lord and appeared right beside him. Does anybody remember who they were? Moses and Elijah. The two olive trees that stood by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, if that doesn't help you, look at Malachi. Keep going right. Malachi chapter number 4. Malachi chapter 4, and look at this. Let's get our context. Let's find out where we're reading from. But behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall stumble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun. Notice how sun is spelt. That is not an incorrection. That is very much correct. The S-U-N. Capital S-U-N. That's the Lord of righteousness. Arise with healing in his wings. He shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of their feet to this day. And I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 4. Ready? Remember ye the law of my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Notice who's mentioned. This is the last person mentioned in the Old Testament talking about the second coming of Christ. The first one is who? Look at verse 5. Behold, I will send you the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Is that plain? Who is he going to send before the Lord comes and that great and dreadful day? Moses and Elijah. I know. Now watch this. I know. I know what you're thinking. Say, I got you, preacher. I got you. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Moses has already died. Oh, really? So everybody's going to die. Oh, really? Let me ask you a question. If the rapture was to take place right now, and we leave out of here, you going to die? Huh. I thought you said it's appointed unto men once to die. Everybody's going to die. That's a statement in general, not a statement of fact. You understand? If you take if the rapture takes place right now, guess what? Every one of us in here that stays is going to bypass death. Just like Elijah did, just like Enoch did. And guess what? I ain't got time because I'm running out of time, but watch this one. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 5, Moses dies and nobody knows where he's buried. I wonder where Moses is at. If you can't find where he's buried, and God had a private funeral. You say, how do you know that? The book of Jude says when Moses died, Michael the archangel contended for the body of Moses. So obviously, if Michael and the archangel and their ministers in the second heaven, it obviously Moses was on his way up, and Michael the archangel had to contend and fight with somebody because the devil don't want Moses coming back.
Amen.
It's all in the Bible. And so anyway, very simple. Moses and Elijah. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter number 11 and we'll finish up. Revelation chapter 11. Two witnesses. I hope by now you know who the two witnesses are. You should. I still got some more information if you want it. Moses was on Mount Sinai 40 days, 40 nights. Elijah was on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. Ain't that odd? Well, cut off my legs and call me Shorty. Moses preached to a fellow by the name of Pharaoh, a type of the Antichrist. Elijah preached to a guy by the name of King Ahab, a type of the Antichrist. Isn't that odd? Well, anyway, you ever heard my story about odd? Anyway, never mind. Revelation chapter number 11. You all want to know, ain't you? As a boy growing up, his family named him Odd. He hated his name. Just hated it. All growing up, everybody called him Odd. That was his name, first name, Odd. And hated his name. And he told his wife, he said, when I die, do not put my name on the tombstone. I didn't like my name, don't like my name, don't want that name. Everybody's called me that. When I die, don't put nothing. Just put the day born and date I died and leave the rest of it blank. I don't want my name up there. To this day, everybody that goes to that graveyard goes, ain't that odd? Dave Murray. Come on now. All right. Notice verse number 6, and we'll get done. These have power to shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that sendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Notice, here's something you need to notice. The signs and the wonders. You remember one Wednesday night where we preached and I said, for we walk by and not by. Now, that is for today. We walk not by faith, but we walk by faith and not by sight. As soon as the church is gone, they go back to a Jewish form and they're walking by sight again. You understand? Because Jews require a sign, and so these have the power to shut up heaven. They have the power to turn water into blood. Why? Because who they're preaching to? Majority are they preaching to Jews. Jews require what? See. So now we're going back to signs and temple worship and bringing a lamb on Saturday and all of that kinds of thing. This is what's going on in the middle of the tribulation. Now look, verse 8, their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Now Sodom is because of its wickedness, Egypt is because of the oppression of God's people. And where also the Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. Now notice, this verse right here would not have been true 100 years ago. You understand? 100 years ago, people would have read this verse and go, how in the world is people from all kindreds and nations and tongues going to see in one location their dead bodies lay in the street? Now, they're able to do that. I mean, the television, they go on and they go, all right, we're going to go to so-and-so. He's in Moscow, Russia. And just like that, we go over there and he gives us a little report from Moscow, Russia. And then when he gets done, he says, all right, back to you in New York. Just like that. And then in New York, all right, we're going to go to California and we're going to talk about these people parading in the streets with these funny looking flags. And you know, verse number 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now here's what I want you to notice. Let's start verse 13. Remember, we're at the end of the tribulation. The two witnesses are raptured, and the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. You remember right before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was a great earthquake? Right before he showed up out of the tomb? He's fixing to show up. Second coming. Great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake was were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. We'll read this and we'll be comment just a few minutes and then we'll leave. The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign, that's a 1,000-year millennial reign, forever and ever. Notice the end of the tribulation. Two witnesses go up, second coming, and then we have the 1,000-year millennial reign in verse 15. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. You see that? Now notice, before I go any further, in 15 it says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. You see that? Now, let me explain this real quickly before we go. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam all the kingdoms of this world. Gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. Adam, and for all practical purposes was king of the earth. When Lucifer come in, the serpent beguiled Eve, sin into the world. In other words, Adam gave over the keys and says, okay, you can have it back. You can have it back. You can have it back. So, you say, who's the God of this world and who's the God of the world of Russia and who's the God of wherever else and who's the God of that nation and who's the God of that nation? You say, oh, so-and-so runs that country. Oh, no. The devil runs all countries. Why? 2 Corinthians 4:4 very plainly says, the God, small g, O-D, the God of this world hath blinded their minds. You say, I don't believe that. Matthew 4 tells you. Matthew 4 says this. The temptation. The Satan says, Jesus, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. If Jesus Christ would have knelt down and worshiped Satan, which he couldn't because he's God, if he would have, then Satan would be ruler of the whole universe. But that's not what happened. Because Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't you know? I'm fixing to get all the kingdoms of this world anyway. And you're not going to give them to me. I'm taking them from you. Stay in your seat on that one. If he would have gave them to him in Matthew 4, we'd have a whole different story. But he didn't. He says, I'm going to wait and I'm going to get them when I take them from you. And here's what we're talking about in Revelation chapter number 11. The kingdoms of this world are now the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. The second coming. He'll be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's what he's talking about. And look at verse 18, and we're almost done. And the nations were angry. Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Great white throne judgment. And thou that should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, to the saints, to them that feared thy name, small and great, shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. There were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Notice at the end, the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. That's the ark of the covenant of the Old Testament. You say, preacher, where is the ark of the covenant? Somebody said they found it. No, they didn't find it. You say, where is it? It's in heaven. Just told you where it was at. Oh, no, they said they found it. No, they didn't find it. So what? You say, well, they found it. No, they didn't find it. They also said they found a finger of the Lord. You better hope they didn't. I could tell you some funny stories. I'm telling you, I could tell you some funny stories. One organization in Rome, they have in the basilica, they have two skulls. They have a smaller one and a larger one. There's a little plate underneath one of them. It says, this is John the Baptist when he was a little boy, and this is one when he was older. I'm not joking. People fall for that stuff. The towel is, what is it called? The who? They don't have that. If they did, it wouldn't mean nothing. People are just gullible. All they found, oh, let me touch it. How about bowing your head, getting out to this altar and bow your head and enter into the Holy of Holies and touch Him yourself? Why do you need a towel? Did you bow your head? Oh, here's this piece of bone. This piece of wood came from the cross of our Lord. All of them pieces of wood that they sold, if they put them all back together, the cross would have been covered this whole universe. Amen. You don't need something you can hold with your hand. That's what the other religions have. We walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have to have a piece of the cross. I don't have to have a piece of His clothing. I don't have to. I walk by faith. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And that's what we're dealing with here in the middle of the tribulation. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight.